This episode brought to you by Origins. Take your indirect lending to the next level. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of CU Intersect here in Newport Beach, California. And in the studio lounge, we have Defense Storm's very own David Cross. David, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here as well, because you just got off the stage from a terrific keynote on cybersecurity. What was it? Cybersecurity and cyber risk management? Mm-hmm. So, yep. Or no, from cybersecurity.
That's it.
To cyber risk management.
Yep.
Had to remember that type of stuff. So yeah. So good stuff. So give us a quick overview here, and I took some notes here. We can dive into a couple of details.
Yeah. So what we are trying to get credit unions to do is instead of just kind of focusing on this exciting thing, which is cybersecurity, but unfortunately oftentimes isn't understood really well by executives and boards, is to change the perspective, how they think about it, which is to think about it from a cyber risk perspective. So we know credit unions are fantastic at managing risk, right? They use it in every other part of their business when they're looking at auto loan portfolio, credit, all of those things. Risk management is the approach they're using from a people, processes, technologies, what have you. What we want credit unions and the InfoSec folks to do is to think about, get their management teams thinking the exact same way, that cyber is a risk management issue, and I need to approach it with that same level of discipline and thoughtfulness that I do every other part of my business.
Right.
So the great thing is, it's not some new wacky idea that the marketers came up with, right? It is an approach that the organizations are already using. We just want them to now think of cyber in that same way.
Right, right. And you kind of hammered away in your talk about being proactive in this area. It's so important to stay on top of this stuff because it moves so fast. So share with me the proactive nature of cyber risk management here. So, you got to stay on top of this big
deal. You did take great notes. So, part of, and that was the whole sort of the example we use around whack-a-mole, right? And that it's, a lot of times organizations are reacting and they're trying to keep up with everything, but you know, as an InfoSec director, manager, CISO, you know it's almost impossible, right? And so there's always that nagging doubt they have about staying on top of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Proactive again just means a shift in focus, and I think fraud is a great example of that in terms of, instead of waiting for the fraud to happen, how do we use data that we already have, use it in different ways to identify things that are happening and identify the fraud before it actually happens? And in this case, what we want to do is identify fraud before the funds actually leave the institution.
Because
that right now is the sort of accepted practice that, I mean, we don't like it, but it happens.
Yeah,
and then on the
back
end, we're trying to figure out how much we lost, how do we go about recovering it, what's the potential damage in terms of reputation to our brand. We want to make sure that we don't get into that. And again, by there are data that already exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of then how do we use those data, in ways and bring new visibility to it that allows us to say, look, it appears we've got a fraudulent account takeover. And then look at it, understand. In the case, the example I shared, it went from one account to 86 accounts, but they were all stopped in a matter of hours simply by being proactive in terms of the data use.
Gotcha. And you talked about components of cyber risk management as well. Can you share a couple of those with us?
So it really actually comes down to four components.
Okay.
So we're going to be holistic, which is, and actually fits really well with, I think, the overall sort of theme of this conference, right, in terms of holistically how are we tackling these issues. The way we look at it in terms of cyber risk management, four things that have to be brought together. The first is risk and how you're assessing risk. The second is the governance and governance programs and controls that are being put in place. Next is actually the security. What are you doing to monitor and manage security? And then the fourth one, it does relate to preventing fraud, which I just talked
about. Right.
So what's interesting is, again, a lot of those things are happening to some degree already in the institution. When an organization does a risk assessment, maybe every 12, 18 months, our argument is that's not sufficient. You need to, one, make sure you're assessing your risk more frequently, because cyber is incredibly dynamic, right?
Yeah.
Threat actors don't just put out a program and say, hey, here's what we're going to do in 2024, guys.
Exactly.
Be ready for that.
Done.
And here's, you know, right? It doesn't work that way. And again, it's not the way risk works in other parts of the business. So what we want them to do is make sure they're staying on top of the risk, and then, but integrating with that knowledge and the work they're doing in risk into their actual security practices,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
how does it change processes and potentially the use of technology as it relates specifically to cybersecurity,
mm-hmm.
because we've thought more about what's happening on the risk
yeah.
side. That's a great example.
Love it, love it. And the other, there are a couple of follow-up questions. They're talking about how do we get the board more acclimated to this? And there, you had a stat up there, what was it, only 33% of boards understand cyber issues or cyber issues. So can
right.
you share with me, how do we get the board more on top of it? Because a lot of boards are, they're on top of it. They got this. So but it's great to, and they're educated, but there are some boards that aren't on top of it. So
yeah.
share with me, how do we get those folks more up to speed?
Yeah, it's a great, and I would say it's becoming even more of a parent, and you say they're on top of it, because I think if we probably look even the last 5-10 years, it almost feels like the makeup of boards are changing,
mm-hmm.
and new board members that are coming on are probably more concerned with cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Don't necessarily all again know the answers and what they need to do, but they have a more genuine concern and want
yeah.
to learn about
yeah.
it. So that
yeah.
that's changing.
That's a good thing.
It puts more onus on the InfoSec people to make sure that they are communicating
mm-hmm.
effectively
mm-hmm.
to the board. And honestly, what needs to happen with the board are, so I love that equation, right? So the board needs to understand things like, all right, our inherent risk. What is, the InfoSec people can come in and they can look at, hey, what's the likelihood of things happening to us? And what's the impact,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the example I said, if, you know, they can actually understand the impact. If we have an event and you can do some scenario planning, what are the potential losses in members,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then what's the cost? Will we lose those members? What's the cost of attaining new members? So it's very easy, I say very easy, relatively easy, that information exists
mm-hmm.
to be able to help the board member understand what's the inherent
mm-hmm.
risk, right? That's
mm-hmm.
oftentimes the starting point, so they
mm-hmm.
actually understand the magnitude. Because I think a lot of, there's almost some of a mentality of, yes, well, something's going to happen, and we'll kind of deal with it when it comes. If we start by making sure they really understand that inherent risk, that potential impact,
mm-hmm.
it changes. Then I can come into, all right, here's what we're going to do from a control perspective and then managing residual risk to stay on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a kind of a reality check. And
yeah.
there, you had some numbers at the very top here. One of the ones that you kind of you focused on in your talk was $860,000.
Yep.
The tangible value of preventing fraud. Can you expand on
yeah.
this one a little bit?
It's,
that really paints a clear picture for a lot of folks, especially if you're talking to a board. $860,000. Okay, you got my attention.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I asked when I put that number up there, I said, you know, who, let's see a show of hands, who, you know, for your credit unions, does $860,000 make a difference, right? And of course, everybody in the room raised their hand, right? and that's so that example, again, it's a real world example. And what it involves is a financial institution that first understood if an account gets taken over, what is the cost? So they have data, and again, most of these credit unions have this data. They were able to understand that
mm-hmm,
and understand,
mm-hmm.
hey, every time an account gets taken over, it costs us $10,000. And that number could be $5,000 for some
yeah.
another,
yeah.
or $15,000 for another. They know, on average, it's $10,000. And then in this case, what happened was that, going back to how we prevent fraud, because they changed their approach to fraud, and instead of just reacting and kind of responding after it's happened, in this case, they, by looking at data,
mm-hmm.
they saw an incident of a potential fraudulent account takeover.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the data was delivered to them, they could actually understand it wasn't just the one account. They could then trace it to multiple accounts. First, it was 11 accounts, and by the end of about a six-hour period, there were 86 fraudulent accounts. Those accounts were never opened, because they had that information, they knew what they were doing, so they prevented those accounts from ever being opened. So it's very,
nice.
At that point, it's simple math of 86 accounts that weren't opened. If they were, it would have been $860,000 of financial loss to the organization.
So that's
having that, again, it's information that exists in most organizations.
Yeah.
It's making sure we actually have it and we're using it to the benefit of the organization.
Yeah, it's a sobering number for sure.
That was one morning. $860,000 of preventive losses in
and you
one
said there
morning.
Was, yeah, there was another, there, an average of 90 million potential cyber events a day at a credit union, just at a credit union. My gosh,
it's all craziness. So it comes back to, if you think about it, all the activity going on, all the systems, everything that's happening, it's all this log data that from those various systems that has to be monitored.
Yeah.
That it is an overwhelming number. Ugh. And it reinforces, I know part of the conference is around technology, it reinforces technology is an absolute critical component.
Mm-hmm,
people
mm-hmm.
simply cannot do it and stay on top of it all.
Yeah, and that may take us down the AI model as well. So that's a whole other show.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That's a whole other. Last question for you. What's the big takeaway for you in your presentation to the audience? What did you want them to take back to their credit unions? Go, hey, you know what? We heard Defense Storm's David Cross talking about cyber risk management. Here's our big takeaway. Let's implement this. So what did you want to achieve there?
It may come back a little bit to that analogy I talked about in terms of the aspirin versus the vitamin, in terms of how do we change the perspective on cybersecurity from, I know we need to do something, but what do we do? And a lot of times it does. It tends to be this world of cyber threats tends to be this very dark, fearsome place. I would hope people understand, listen, there is actually, I have some hope. We have a different way we can think about this issue, and I can actually, it's no longer going to be playing a game of whack-a-mole. I'm going to have a much higher degree of confidence of what we're doing, why we need to do it, and to be able to then help the rest of the organization understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So the InfoSec, director, CISO, whatever, can move forward his or her agenda in a way that really benefits the institution and all of the members.
Indeed. Well said, sir. All right, David, I'm going to let you get going because I know you have a panel to prepare for as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank
great you. Job up there on stage. You did a great job. And look forward to the panel this afternoon.
Great. Thanks,
right on,
Mike.
Sir. Well done.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode brought to you by Origins. Take your indirect lending to the next level.